The gay community responded to this outbreak with incredible courage and dignity and strength and activism.
Penny is a fantastic escape for me, and she has been for 24 years. To step away from Daniel and to throw on the makeup and the wig, welcome that lovable Penny Tracer. I've lost every job. I have no income, but I've never been busier.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Inter-American Court finds Peru guilty of queer torture, lesbian woman Lion climbs her last ladder, and Aussie drag star penetrates COVID quarantine. Those stories and more this week because you've tuned in to This Way Out.
I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending April 11th, 2020. Queer news marches on in spite of the COVID-19 crisis. The Inter-American Court of Human Rights found Peru's government responsible for the arbitrary arrest, detention, and torture of a trans woman. Azul Roja Marin has since transitioned, but identified as a gay man in 2008, when the incident occurred. She was beaten and raped with a truncheon by three officers at a northern Peru police station. They also refused to return her belongings when she was finally released. Human rights activists went to the Inter-American Court after Peruvian courts dismissed her complaints. The court called Marin's jailing arbitrary, discriminatory, and illegal. The decision is particularly notable because it's the first time the court has ruled in a case involving the torture of an LGBTQ person. The justices ordered the government of Peru to pay Marin unspecified financial damages and to provide her with psychological counseling. It further ordered Peru's government to begin full investigations into attacks against LGBTQ people and to compile statistics about such attacks. The Inter-American Court is the judicial branch of the 35-member Organization of American States. Its rulings are considered binding on member countries in North, Central, and South America and the Caribbean.
Trans people in Panama are facing twin perils during the COVID-19 pandemic. The tiny Central American nation has thus far had more than 2,000 confirmed cases and more than 55 deaths. Under strict government lockdown rules issued on April 1st to blunt the spread of the virus, citizens are allowed to go outside just 2 hours a day. Panamanian women can go out to buy groceries and other needed staples on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Men are allowed to go out on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. No one is allowed out on Sundays. Where does that leave transgender Panamanians? They can only change the gender marker on their ID documents if they can prove that they've had gender confirmation surgery. The advocacy group Association of New Men and Women of Panama is sounding the alarm. Its leader, Ricardo Beteta, told Agence France-Presse that there are still police patrols who use the argument that God only created Adam and Eve. What does a transgender person do in this situation?
Human Rights Watch has already documented the cases of four trans people caught in the crossfire. Barbara Delgado has not had the required surgery to change her official gender. After she was stopped on the way to work with a male gender marker on her ID card, Delgado was taken to the police station and held for what she described as 3 humiliating hours. She was finally released after paying a fine equivalent to about $50 for not being a woman. The Global Rights Watchdog noted that some of the trans people who've been arrested went out on the day dictated by the gender on their ID card. Others went out on the designated day for their self-identified gender. Human Rights Watch calls that damned if you do and damned if you don't. The group is urging the Panamanian government to clarify the lockdown rules so that transgender citizens can go out when they need to without being harassed by overzealous police officials.
Ireland's caretaker prime minister has put on his medical hat again to help fight COVID-19. Leo Varadkar worked as a doctor for 10 years before he went into politics. His party lost in February's general elections, but the victorious parties have not yet been able to form a new government. So there's a chance that Varadkar might still at least share head of government duties when the partisan wrangling is settled. Meanwhile, the versatile interracial gay PM has rejoined the medical register. According to the Irish Times, Varadkar is working one shift a week conducting phone assessments for people who are showing symptoms of the virus. That frees up other doctors to conduct in-person work. Varadkar's spouse, Matthew Barrett, is also a doctor. A spokesperson for the PM said that Varadkar wanted to help out even in a small way.
One of this week's queer dead from COVID-19 complications was the first Florida law enforcement official to contract the disease in the line of duty. Broward County Sheriff's Deputy Shannon Bennett died at the age of 39, a week after testing positive and being hospitalized. Social media filled with praise for Bennett from students and parents of the school where he was a school resource officer. He's survived by his fiancé, Jonathan Frey, his mother, and brother.
South Florida transgender trailblazer Henrietta Robinson may have contracted COVID-19 in the hospital awaiting hernia surgery. She passed away this week at the age of 79. On Facebook, Miami Beach Pride called Robinson one of the first transgender individuals to live her life in Miami Beach, one who became a mentor to so many who struggled through the years. Michael Gongora is its first openly gay Miami Beach commissioner. He told the New Times that she kind of was the godmother of all of us.
A leading HIV/AIDS activist in Los Angeles has also died. Gary Bowie was the executive director of Being Alive, which provides mental health counseling and other forms of support to people living with HIV. Bowie's widower, Jeff Waka, announced the news on Facebook, calling his husband, "My reason for living."
Natural causes took the life of U.S. lesbian pioneer Phyllis Lyon at the age of 95 this week at her home in San Francisco. Lyon and her partner of 59 years, Del Martin, were founders of the Daughters of Bilitis, the first political and social group for lesbians in the U.S. They began distributing a companion publication called The Ladder in 1956. In 2004, Martin and Lyon were the first same-gender couple in California to get a marriage license, issued by then-mayor and now-governor Gavin Newsom. They were the first queer couple to legally marry in the state in 2008. Martin died at the age of 87 2 months later. Recounting the activist resume of Phyllis Lyon and Del Martin would fill an entire newscast. Google them.
Condom makers have been declared an essential business during the spreading COVID-19 lockdowns. One in five condoms produced globally come from the owner of three factories in Malaysia, and all three were shut down in March. Now, the condom marketed in several countries as Durex is back in production, but with only 50% of its workforce trying to catch up to the backlog of orders. Orders that have only ballooned since stay-at-home restrictions were issued in several countries. In an email to Reuters, a company spokesman noted that, even if local shops are closed for now, our Durex online stores remain open for business.
Finally, as the director of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci was not always thought of as the queer community's best friend during the early days of HIV/AIDS. Now he appears at the daily campaign rally-like COVID-19 briefings of President Trump.
No, I don't take responsibility at all.
States are supposed to be doing testing. Hospitals are supposed to be doing testing. We're the federal government. We're not supposed to stand on street corners doing testing.
Once accused of providing cover for an unresponsive President Ronald Reagan, Fauci frequently tries to undo the current commander-in-chief's blatant misstatements as diplomatically as he can. At one of those briefings this week, the doctor discussed alarming recent data. The disproportionate number of COVID-19 infections in the African-American community. Fauci praised the response to HIV/AIDS during the height of that epidemic by the queer community while standing an unsafe distance away from Trump's pandemic point man and certifiably anti-queer Vice President Mike Pence.
The coronavirus really does ultimately shine a very bright light on some of the real weaknesses and foibles in our society. And as some of you know, the greater proportion of my professional career has been defined by HIV/AIDS. And if you go back then, during that period of time when there was extraordinary stigma, particularly against the gay community, and it was only when the world realized how the gay community responded to this outbreak with incredible courage and dignity and strength and activism, that I think that really changed some of the stigma against the gay community, very much so. I see a similarity here because health disparities have always existed for the African-American community. But here again, with the crisis, how it's shining a bright light on how unacceptable that is.
Dr. Anthony Fauci.
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending April 11th, 2020. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is usually recorded in the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, but we're recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. The news is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out Radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau. Stay healthy.
And I'm John Dyer V. Stay safe.
Like millions of workers around the world, countless entertainers have been put out of work by the COVID-19 pandemic, and many drag performers are on the financial ropes. But everybody knows you can't keep a good queen down. Gary Sushi Marion and his 801 Girls in Florida are making face masks for healthcare and other essential workers. Bianca Del Rio and Lady Bunny hosted artists from across the U.S. for the Work the World live stream show on April 4th that benefited out-of-work entertainers. In Sydney, Australia, This Way Out's William Broom chats with one drag performer who's making the most of isolation on Facebook.
Before I ask about your fantastic online shows, Daniel Floyd, a.k.a. Penetration, can you tell us how you've been directly impacted by the coronavirus COVID-19?
Oh, my God. How have I not been? My life has been thrown upside down. I am an international flight attendant. I am a Sydney-based drag megastar that, you know, I worked at sort of like 9 clubs across Sydney regularly, and I had girls working with me as part of Gender Bender Bingo. And I arrived back in Australia to find out that my airline was grounded as from the 30th of March. I had a 3-hour nap. I found out every single club I worked at was closed. And I went from suddenly having the most amazing life to being like, you're unemployed for the first time in your life. Welcome, bitch.
But you've been amazing at adapting, because you're one of the pioneers of social online entertainment during the virus, aren't you?
That's really sweet that you said that. And I know it was situation, place, time. I'm a chronic oversharer. I mean, like, I'm forever, if I'm on holiday, I mean, there's awful videos of me very, very drunk in a lounge in Dubai with maybe one too many Xanaxes, not realizing where I am. And again, I mean, I shared it. I like to share the honesty. Yeah, this happened by mistake. I woke up. I lost everything. I'm like, cool, girl, you got 2 weeks inside. Let's do it online. So I started Tration in Isolation, the Facebook group, and that was on Wednesday. On the Friday afternoon, someone said to me, hey, do a drag show tonight. Next minute, I'm online putting makeup on, which I hate people seeing me put makeup on because it's not a strength of mine. Chatting, I did an hour-long drag show, and I finished the whole thing and sat and sobbed on the floor. I never felt so connected. I sort of turned around and went to talk to someone like you do after a show and realized I was in my lounge room on my own, and it smacked me in the face.
We hear a lot about social isolation and social distancing. What do you think about those terms?
I think the terms are terrible. I think it needs to be called physical isolation, social imperative, keep on socializing. It's a weird time at the moment. I mean, there are people that suffer anxiety and social anxiety and depression. I mean, and I mean, certainly for the gay community, I mean, we've got a lot of people that are substance addicted, and, you know, they have a hard time every day. And now you shake that up and you change every day to the worst day of your life with terrible news and terrible, just every time you turn on the media, it's awful stuff. And now they've got a battle with that. So, I mean, I'm reaching out daily. There's like, I got maybe 5 or 6 people in my social network that I know battle regularly. So I know we're battling now. So for me, and it's really hard, I'm trying to juggle. It's like, I've lost every job I have no income, but I've never been busier. And it's important to make time to reach out to those people I know this is hard for. I have a no C word rule. So there's a few people that I know that I will talk to, and we just do not discuss corona. We don't talk about the virus. We talk about anything but, and occasionally we'll drift onto it. And I'm like, hey, and let's think about the time. And you've got to keep people's minds off of it.
Now, you've talked about how important it is to reach out to your viewers and fans. How important is it to you and other artists to be doing this kind of entertainment online?
Do you know what? I think everyone's a bit lost at the moment. And it is a delight and a disaster to see some of the stuff that people are churning out. And it's important not to lose penny during this situation. And Penny is a fantastic escape for me, and she has been for 24 years, as much as I've hated that bitch at sometimes, to step away from Daniel and the responsibilities attached to being Daniel, and to throw on the makeup and the wig and look in the mirror and go, oh, there you are, I missed you. It's a great detachment for me. I've been so lucky. I mean, I got my dream. I became so dumb, like so double gay whammy card, drag queen, flight attendant. All I ever dreamed of being was a flight attendant, and I got that dream. And to do the drag aspect of it at the moment, it's just such a detachment from this awful world we're living in. And for the other performers out there, I mean, that is their income, and they're scared, and they're churning out stuff. A lot of it's fantastic. A lot of it's not. But I've been so anti, like the Instagram, Facebook, Insta famous. Let me tell you what I'm doing today. I'm like, no one cares. No one cares. Mm-hmm. And now person that wants everyone to care. So it's important for me, and I hope it's important for other people. The messages I've got have told me it is. Ladies and gents, Straits and Bents, direct from isolation in the one-bedroom apartment close to Sydney International Airport, welcome that lovable single solo drag queen, the amazing Penny Trayson.
What's been the reaction so far to your shows online?
Listen, I'm probably well and truly aware that there's two different reactions. The reaction I see and the reaction people do behind my back, but I'm really good at talking behind people's back as well. The reaction I get, God, I mean, it's people reaching out and saying, hey, I just started chemotherapy on the 1st of April, and it's not a great April Fool's Day joke, but you're helping me get through it. Or I suffer panic attacks daily, but it's really funny. I tune into your show with Dan at lunchtime, and I haven't had a panic attack. And whilst it makes me sound like I'm trying to be the Mother Teresa of drag and online entertainment, they are the honest messages that come through. And it freaks me out. It's really weird. I sort of got on this roller coaster the day I arrived back, and I didn't stop because I thought, you got to work hard. This is the time. Invest now. You may be able to maintain and create a future. And Reuters did a news story. And I had a photographer standing on the lip of my balcony photographing me from 1 o'clock in the afternoon until like 10 o'clock at night when I was a drunken mess. And I didn't see them. And the article sort of got lost. Mm. And when it came out, he sent through a link to his photos. And it's the first time I've taken a moment to step back. And when I saw his photos, I sobbed like a baby. It makes me emotional now. I sobbed because I was like, Jesus Christ, that's what you've been doing. That's what you've done for the last 2 weeks, and you haven't even thought about it. And it's so rare for me to give myself a pat on the back, but I'm like, you bloody did good. You done good. You have actually made a positive impact to people at probably the toughest time we'll ever go through.
I think it is a crucial time to give ourselves pats on the back occasionally.
Well, we don't do it enough, and I certainly don't do it enough. So for me to be able to have the chance to do that, I mean, it's changed me as a person. It's changed me as a performer. it's given me confidence that I kind of lost for a while, because I'm very good at talking, as you may tell. But like when I have to start doing numbers and stuff, I get really nervous. And I think I've done more numbers in the last 2 weeks than I've done in the last 10 years. And I've heard from people that I've not seen in 20 years going, you're just as good as you were. And I'm like, hey, thank you. I appreciate it. And it's time I start believing that.
William Broom will be back with Daniel Penetration Floyd after this brief identity confirmation intermission.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
I'm Kate Clinton, and while I can joke about the political state of our country, it's no laughing matter what Congress could do to our civil rights. An informed community is a strong community. That's why I'm inviting you to tune in to this station to hear This Way Out.
So much cooler online.
There's nothing cooler than the world's only international LGBT radio magazine.
Unless it's thiswayout.org.
At thiswayout.org, you'll find program information,
related videos,
expanded features,
news wrap transcripts,
and CDs and downloadable material.
It might not be cooler than radio,
but there's much more This Way Out at thiswayout.org.
Here's more of William Broom's conversation with Daniel Floyd, a.k.a. Penetration.
You do up to 3 shows a day, don't you? I think a morning check-in, a live lunchtime show with DJ Dan Murphy, and a nightly drag show.
Initially, that is what I advertise, and I may be bit off more than I could chew.
It's a lot of work.
At the time, I think I was drunk when I said it. I do a recorded, it's not live, I do a morning check-in where I talk about what's happened for me in the last sort of time since I've checked in. I talk about what we're going to talk about on our 1 o'clock show. It's kind of like an advertisement. So that's my morning check-in. I do the live show Monday to Friday at 1 p.m. with DJ Dan Murphy. I mean, we've both been in isolation at the same time. I've known Dan for a long time and we've worked together on many, many things, but he's become the best friend I always had but never knew I had. We've sobbed on the phone. We've cried. We've laughed. We had one argument today, which was put to bed so quickly. But we sort of sat down and said, hey, I want to do a topical show. I want it to be fun. I don't want to dwell too much on the dark side. And we've had some amazing guests. We had Brandy Glanville from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We had Jessica Rowe.
Amazing. Jessica Rowe is a TV newsreader in Australia, isn't she?
I've seen Jessica Rowe on television for years. She was like a firecracker. I had to, in the end, say, hey, it's time for you to stop now. And our first guest ever was the amazing Kimberly Cooper, or who people would know as Gypsy from Home and Away, who's a long-term friend of mine. And she was amazing. And she put us into such good stead. To even have those sort of names as guests is, I mean, for two homosexuals in a lounge room doing a show while we're locked in is,
fantastic.
I mean, it's kind of unbelievable.
And of course, in the evening, you've got your nightly drag entertainment.
You're lovely to advertise it as nightly. And like me, you like to exaggerate. I had to just pull it back. It's Friday and Saturday night. Friday night, I do Frightful Fridays because I get ready online with people and I do my makeup. I'm kind of freaked out by that, but it builds a good audience. And then I do an hour-long drag show, which is not planned. So people ask me to do numbers. I do a couple of my favorites. And Saturday night, I do Shift It Back Saturdays, which is based on my time at the midnight shift in Sydney. So between probably like 94 and 2005, I was the, I love to say it, the headliner. The lead drag queen. And for a period of that time, I was also the promotions manager. So I lived, ate, breathed midnight shift. And it was such an amazing time for Gay Sydney. There was so much community that, I mean, you could be naughty back then. And Saturday nights is Shift It Back Saturdays. And it's really a flashback to those times. And a lot of people crop up with stories of what we did in that time. And the songs are all based around that time. And it's a real walk down memory lane. And it's fun. It's fun.
Do you think this is going to change the dynamics of how we view entertainment in future? Will we all start going back to bars and pubs and clubs?
I mean, that's an interesting question. I hope that we go back to bars and clubs and pubs. But I also hope before we go out that night, we tune in online, because I feel, and I've had this conversation with Dan, it's like Dan and I would love an opportunity in Australia for like a Friday night chat show, which has got opportunity for entertainers and musicians, big names, to really publicize what they're doing. We don't have that outlet in Australia. You know what? We can create that online, and if they love it, then hopefully, fingers crossed, it gets picked up and it gets bigger. I mean, it's important for us to socialize. I mean, the Grindr scruff years have ruined a lot of that individual interaction. And I hope that we will come out of this a different group of people and realize that actually talking to someone and speaking to people you don't know is, that's what we used to have to do. You used to have to go up and say to someone in a club, hey, do you want to dance? I mean, could you imagine doing that now? But I know the most beautiful couple, the most gorgeous couple in New York, and that's how they met 4 years ago. He walked up to him and said, do you want to dance? I mean, it's the daggiest thing in the world, but it works. But we're too scared of it now because we've got the protection of social media.
And finally, where can we watch your shows?
Primarily through Tration in Isolation, and that's on Facebook. Kim Cooper gave me a huge chat today. She's like, you need to start doing your posts through Instagram and post it to Facebook. I'm like, darling, I'm 44. Like, I wish I adopted children years ago because it would make this whole technical thing easy. We're up to about 3,000 followers in 2 weeks. It should be more. But people share pictures and photos and stories, and I broadcast all the shows in there. And on Friday and Saturday, that's where I go live from. And that's my isolation community.
Daniel Floyd, a.k.a. Penetration, thanks so much for joining us here on This Way Out.
William, you know what? Thank you for having me, and I look forward to catching up in the real world when it's legal again.
This is William Broome in Sydney, Australia for This Way Out.
Daniel Floyd's Tration in Isolation public Facebook group currently has just under 3,700 members. Upcoming Little Lunch guests include Australian Olympic bobsleigh team member Simon Dunn. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from John Dyer V and Michael LeBeau, produced by Brian DeShazer, and from William Broome. Thanks also to Kate Clinton and Jessica Andrea and Christopher Gall. Brad Paisley and Brent McCullough performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, John Beaupre, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Together with all of our listener donors, they make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KGHE Montesano and KGHI Westport, Washington, WOOL Bellows Falls, Vermont, 2CCC Gosford, New South Wales, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Now y'all stay home and stay tuned.